you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse.
That's Gary D working his magic on the intro music in the background. Always find something relatable to the topic at hand.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit about nutrition. Pork is an excellent source of protein, obviously, we know that, and provides several important vitamins and minerals. A 3-ounce serving of pork is an excellent source of thiamine, selenium, protein, niacin, vitamin B6, and so much more. I could name the other things, but I'd be nervous my tongue would trip over itself. It's heart healthy, and that's acknowledged by the American Heart Association. Both the pork tenderloin and the pork sirloin roast meet the criteria for the American Heart Association to be heart healthy. So there's all sorts of healthy benefits to eating pork. Of course, that's what we're going to promote today because we're in agriculture. Arizona Pork Council and Arizona Farm Bureau like to highlight these healthy parts of it. But, you know, beyond that, I know these two guys that are sitting to my left, they're going to just basically tell you it's just good meat. And
Absolutely. Both
of you barbecue, so talk about it.
Well, health benefits, that's great. Let's face it, pork's the best thing on the barbecue. Tastes awesome. Who doesn't like bacon? I mean, you can wrap bacon around anything, and it makes it better. You know, we just talked. We got bacon ice cream. You can put it in a jalapeno popper. You can do whatever.
Yeah.
Bacon just makes things better.
It does.
No, we do like our pork.
So is it your meat of choice on the barbecue even more than – now, you got to remember, we're representing the beef industry, too.
Not today.
Well, bacon cheeseburger.
Exactly.
Yeah, bacon cheeseburger.
Coexistion.
Yeah.
Perfect marriage. That's
perfect
exactly
marriage.
Right.
So, Kevin, what do you do on the Barbie?
Well, I think it depends on what's going on. My time at Arizona Farm Bureau, we started a grill project. And back when we had the fires up in the mountains and lost over 1 million acres of rangeland up there, that Arizona Farm Bureau, along with our Farm Bureau Financial Services partner, we decided we wanted to go out and feed people and say we're sorry for what you went through. And so we bought a grill and fixed it up and did some stuff. And Bruce Kane leads our team. I'm still involved with that. And Jim Klinker was our exec at the time. And we feed thousands of people a year at different events. And our biggest is probably Pinal County Fair at the auction. And we feed close to 1,500 people every year. Now, this year we didn't do it because of COVID. But
I think our peak, we did something like over 13,000 meals.
There you go. And so a lot of times when our grill team goes to work, it depends on what people really want. But, man, pulled pork is just, it's easy. You throw it in the smoker. You let it sit there all night, and it comes off in the morning. With a good thermometer, you can cook anything and make it work, and it's phenomenal.
These guys are dedicated. I know a lot of the times you've been putting the roast in there like that night. I mean, it's almost a 24.
Well, and you know, to do it right, you got to season it ahead of time. And Shannon does a lot of barbecue as well, especially for groups when he has his sale and different things like that. He's done pulled pork for years for his family and his dad as well. But yeah, you got to season it the night before, let it sit, and let it soak it all in, and then throw it in the smoker, and then you got to wrap it and finish it on up. But there's nothing better than that. And pork will come apart, will shred so easy. You drop the bone out. And you can shred it with a power drill now with the tools we have and make it work. But we do a lot of brisket too. Yeah. Brisket's a great cut to put in the smoker and make that work. But there's a lot of good options
now,
out there.
I have to ask you both a question. I think a lot of our listeners are probably wanting to know right now. Personal preference: coleslaw on top of your sandwich or on the side?
Oh, on top for sure.
I'm a side guy.
Kevin's a side guy. Shannon's on top. Guy.
Hey, it all ends up mixed in your belly anyway.
That's
you
right.
Might as well just help the process.
I'm with you, Shannon.
I'm good with pickles on it as well. But,
So we're going to – one other thing I wanted to mention was Bruce Kane, because he's oftentimes the master chef for some of these Goodwill barbecues for Arizona Farm Bureau and Farm Bureau Financial Services. And I'm telling you, he gets in the zone. He has his chef cooker zone focus.
Oh, he is amazing, and he's a Louisiana boy, and he does it first class. And he's the guy who spends the whole 3 days ahead of time preparing and making sure he's got the right cut. And then he's at his house or at the Farm Bureau office seasoning it up the night before, and we'll go in and help him sometimes. But he's got it down to such a science that he'd just soon do it himself because he doesn't want us to screw it up.
So for everyone else that has Southern or Louisiana background, I think we're all probably wondering the same thing, too. Have y'all ever done a couchon de lait?
No, sir.
That was my question.
Oh, we got to fix that.
We got to solve that problem.
Oh, we got to fix that right now.
That is, and for anyone, that is a rotisserie pig, the entire thing. And when you're ready, you just walk up there and you just, as it's turning, you just put your plate underneath and you slice it right off. Or even if it's done right, you know, just you could pull it off with your hands.
I'm in.
You know, that one would be good for racing for the bacon in October.
Well, we've done them when they've been flat on the charcoal on the ground, on bricks around. I've never rotisserated one.
I was going to say, my uncle did that too, because I'm from South Louisiana. We put a pig in the ground overnight. And there's a celebration in St. Martinville, Louisiana, the couchon de lait before Mardi Gras. But they show you, they have a live pig, and they harvest it right on the spot. They show you exactly how they cleaned it back in the days by boiling water in a tub. And the knives had to be sterilized. And, you know, they did the whole thing. And you had fresh pork by 2 in the afternoon.
Now we're talking.
Awesome. Yeah.
Couchon de lait. That's got to be put on the calendar.
We need to do that. That needs to be a big event. So
now, I got to ask one question. If we're doing all this barbecue and Mr. Kane... Yeah, or is it a vinegar base or is it a sweet base? How do y'all like your barbecue, your pulled pork?
I kind of like mine a vinegar.
I'm kind of tart. I'm a sweet guy. I like the barbecue sauce personally. Yeah. I'll eat it either way.
I was raised on Bill Johnson's Big Apple barbecue sauce, and that's the way to go.
Hey, let's face it. With pork, you know, everybody has their secret. My dad, we call it Big V's Big Barbecue. At our cell for years, we did it for Buckeye Ag Day. We barbecued for 30 years. Yours is a secret recipe you put on that pork. You don't tell anybody. That's your secret deal. They got to come get it. Other animals that we cook, we don't have that. The pork, we got a special recipe you don't share with anybody. Yeah. That's the family secret, you know.
Well, Bruce has got his own dry rub, and he'll send me buckets of it, but he won't tell me what he put in to make it done.
Absolutely.
Just like Representative Tim Dunn in Yuma, he's quite a barbecue guy before he got hung up in the legislature. He's doing a great job for us down there, but Tim's got a little barbecue company, does competitive barbecuing, and he's got his own seasoning and rub and sauce line. His
and he drove up from Yuma last year for the broadcast once.
Yep. Yeah. He's a good guy. So on a more serious note, what do we think of the pork's carbon footprint? It's actually very good. Safeguarding the environment is important to America's pork producers who work to steward their land for future generations. So here's some of the things they've done in the past 6 decades. They've reduced their land use. We have to anyway because we keep selling to developers. 75% less land is used, and we're producing far more pork than we ever have. 25% less water, 7% less energy, and 7.7% fewer carbon emissions. Pork production accounts for less than 0.3% of greenhouse gas emissions. I'm just noting that for those that always ask that question and have that concern. Pork does an amazing job at protecting our environment.
And I saved this article from the Wall Street Journal talking about farming in general, and that over the past 70 years, farming has tripled on production-wise in America. But on less land, and some of the things that they attributed to, you know, in the 90s when GPS came in, and that's on the tractors, and now when you're doing a lot of your big harvesting, we don't have a lot of combine harvesting like they do in rice fields and the wheat farms and the corn, but, you know, directing your tractor to the least amount of possible movement and a very precise, so you're not overlapping what you've already cut. Soil mapping, they said that came out in the 2000s. My father-in-law has been doing that in California since the 70s.
Wow.
Where you go out and you take soil samples and you're like, all right, we're trying to grow cantaloupe, and this soil to grow cantaloupe and get optimal, you need to add these nutrients and combination mix to the soil to get your maximum production. And they're thinking that they're going to be close to getting 4 harvests of cantaloupe in a cycle out in Harquahala in the next couple of years. So just the amount of technology that has come in to the farming industry, and all the while reducing the land and the water use.
And we really have to, because our costs keep going up. So sometimes we're forced to, based on the inputs, that's what we say in agriculture. But the reality is, it's always a benefit to our environment. And I like to tell people we're producing more, even more, twice as much as we used to on far less land and using far less water.
And since 1972, the use of insecticides has dropped 80%.
Right. Well, we can speak to that with cotton. BT cotton, genetically modified cotton, Dad reduced his pesticide use by well over 90% that first season that we planted the biotech cotton.
It's amazing because you hit a good point, Romy, that without technology, agriculture would not be the same as it is today. We would require everyone to have 20 acres and a mule. I mean, now technology allows us to produce enough food and fiber so you don't have to worry about it. We've got folks that love it and choose to have that lifestyle that are able to do it and do it safely and environmentally friendly so that everyone else can have a different job. It reminds me, Secretary Vilsack, Tom Vilsack, who was the Secretary of Agriculture under the Obama administration, is now back under the Biden administration. Tom's a great guy, but one of his best speeches talked about, because agriculture does what they do so well, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You can go to school and be a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, whatever you want to do. You can do construction. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about your food because you know it's always going to be there and it's going to be safe. And
we're getting better and far maximizing the resources that we know we always have to have. We always have to have the sun. We always have to have the land. We have to have the soil.
And to bring that back to pork, that same technology has helped us over the generations, have leaner animals,
right.
So your cuts are better. You put that loin roast on the grill, and there's nothing better than a good loin roast and slice that puppy thin, and it's just amazing. But that same technology helps us with our livestock production as well.
I think we can count 8 cuts of pork meeting the USDA guidelines for lean, and I don't think you could say that 100 years ago. So we've just gotten better at what we do.
And I'll save this last one for you pork guys. In Europe, there's a directive that requires pigs have ample light, less noise, and more space. To help these highly intelligent animals overcome boredom, the directive requires that pigs have access to material to enable proper investigation and manipulation activities, in other words, toys.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you, raising pigs, and let's just cut to it. A lot of people don't like the commercial thought of pigs. They think they're overcrowded. Pigs are really they're really friendly animals that want to be together.
Social.
They like to be their social animals in groups. They do great. But I will tell you, you ever see a jolly ball that people hang in their horse stalls for their horse to play with? We have pigs that don't like to sit still. We put a jolly ball in their pen at home, and they roll it around and play with it. So pigs are highly intelligent, and they do like to play with things.
You know, getting back to fair pigs, and I used to have mine. I was just, because now I always see the pigs that you guys, the pictures that you guys post on Facebook, and of course other family friends that have their kids in 4-H and FFA, and I'm looking at my show pig, and I actually did pretty good when I had pig.
They were terrible.
Oh, I was going to say.
They were terrible.
They look so dorky compared to today's pigs.
Today's pig, if you want to talk technology or advancement,
yeah,
they're pretty animals. They got meat. They walk good. The pigs we used to raise, my kids go, Dad, you really raised that? That thing was terrible. How did you win?
I was embarrassed.